You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ricey here with the Canopy Group facts. Fact number one, the Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than a captive insurance company and agent write in 3 years. How is that possible? Here are the other facts to answer that question. Fact number two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact number three, the Canopy Group offers combined single limit coverage, not split limit coverage. Fact number four, the Canopy Group offers only one deductible at claim time, not two or three or four or even more. Fact number five, at renewal, the Canopy Group shops your insurance with their 15 other companies every year to make sure you're getting the best deal. Captives don't do this because they have only one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get your options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Royce Unchained. I'm your Philip Gustafson here today, God. Pat.
That's good. That's good. Judd and Dawn publicly celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. I've been married to my second wife longer than Judd's been married to Dawn, but I didn't realize they were such child brides. But good for them that they go out and still celebrate the wedded bliss. It's when you get into it 30 yeah. years from now, if you're going to some place on a vacation to celebrate your 30th wedding anniversary, you'll have defeated the odds, sir. You'll have defeated the odds. That's for sure. But congratulations to them. And Judd did pay attention to
the hockey
game, and he also took time to rip Cat in the from watching the Timberwolves game. So I'm sure Dawn enjoyed having to watch a hockey game and a basketball game in the midst of this celebration.
Jokingly texted him because, of course, he was texting me, bitching about the Wild's performance, and I said, "Well, what about forget about the game here? What about you and Dawn?" He goes, "She's multiple glasses of champagne in, and I picked up 48 spotted cows at the Wisconsin gas station. We're both doing just fine."
Right. So 48 cans of spotted cow. Wow, that's I didn't know you could get a 48 pack.
Wisconsin. He got two. He said he got two 24s, but the fact he got two 24 packs at a gas station.
Yeah, what is the name of that little town down there that's the home of spotted cow, and then expanded and it's ice gets this.
New Glarus is the brewery.
Yeah, it's down there, one of that towns. My wife and I were at a wedding in Chicago, and we came back through there to see this quaint little place, and it took about an extra 2 hours. What a stupid idea that was. But she got violently ill.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So in the middle of it, we're driving back. We had to stop every hour to let her get violently ill someplace.
No.
So I don't know what was going on, but it was it left us a bad impression of New Glarus for the rest of our lives. So anyway, yeah, the spot. And, of course, I think the spotted cow is also ice cream, right? Don't they make
right. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they did that.
Not big into the ice cream. So you're a hockey guy, and he is, and everybody giving these guys an excuse because they're because their goon forward got assessed two penalties that were shaky. They had to kill three penalties,
mm-hmm.
and they gave up two goals.
Yep.
Let's concentrate on their penalty killing a little more than ripping the referees. Do you think, in all justification, they played 60 minutes and only deserved one penalty?
No.
Do you think they only deserved one penalty?
And they're going to call stuff.
Yes, they are.
They're going to call stuff throughout the course of the game.
And, you know, Gary Olson covered the North Stars for years for the St. Paul paper, and he had a theory that they had marbles in their pockets. And they, you know, they would move it to one pocket, you know, and then they'd feel how many they had in that pocket. And then they'd have to even it up someplace. So they ended up giving four penalties to Dallas and three penalties to the Wild. And the Dallas killed three of those,
mm-hmm.
and then couldn't kill the one on the 6-4 after the goalie was pulled, right? So they killed 75% of their penalties, and our boys killed 33% of their penalties.
Right.
Since they arrived in 2000, right? 2000,
mm-hmm.
no team has been treated more with more fawning for less reason than the Wild. And, you know, the Wild Timberwolves deserve all the ridicule they get, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But these guys, we make way too many excuses for them. It's kind of the hockey mentality.
Yep.
And, you know, the hell with it. If you can't, okay, questionable penalty. Maybe even worse than questionable. You still got to kill it.
That's right.
You know? And you know what else? The Minnesota Gophers, to the disappointment of us all, lost to Quinnipiac. And they took it like men. They took it like adults.
Yeah.
They said, okay, we didn't play our game in the third period. Now they did. There was one penalty they didn't like, right? The penalty on Sessions. But it was not a moan fest. This is the coach and Foligno and the fans and the TV people. The only reason we lost was because of those two penalties. Well, he probably committed six others in the game that they didn't call.
Sure.
So, I don't, you know, that's my theory.
Well, I would say special teams has been their problem.
Yes.
Dallas
penalties has been their problem.
Dallas is 7 of 16. 7 of their goals have come on the power play.
Yes.
5-on-5, actually, I going into this series, I thought 5-on-5, well, Dallas is a better offensive team. They got great scoring up and down. They're much more lethal. The Wild have held their own 5-on-5. It's been special teams. It's been, the biggest reason that the series is tied.
The Wild has this whole collection of defensemen. These guys got Suter, 38 years old, wobbling around out there on his skates on their first defensive pair. I think the Wild are better than they are. But I asked Tom Reed before the game, and he's a very candid fella. And he knew we were just BSing. And he said he thinks the Wild's better, you know. And he's not, you know, you can go to him and, you know, other times, and he says the other team's better. But this wouldn't be the first time they lost to a team in the first round that they were better than St. Louis, the Jake Allen series.
Yes.
And that was, and I don't think Ottinger hasn't been that. Now, he was good.
He was
last
good yesterday,
night.
But yes, he's been beatable.
He hasn't been on his head, standing on his head the rest of the time. He got good. He got very good with 10 seconds to go, saved the game for them.
Yeah, he did.
But the other thing is, Foligno, breakaway.
Yep.
Breakaway. He gets a rebound. He still doesn't score.
Mm-hmm.
He gets two tries. And then Kaprizov on the power play, first he gets a breakaway, doesn't score. And then Kaprizov opened net on the right side on the power play, chance to tie the game after Foligno goaded that guy into a penalty, gave the Wild a power play, and he missed the, I don't know how he missed the net, but he missed the net.
Yeah, they the odd man rushes at one point, Pat, I believe, were 8-1. I mean, the Wild had defensively, Dallas was terrible yesterday.
Yes.
They left Ottinger out to dry, and he bailed them out on numerous occasions. But you have to score. If you're not going to your point about them complaining about, you know, the other way around, them not killing penalties. If the Wild aren't going to score on the power play, then you got to convert the odd man rushes. I did a pie chart with Phil on Mackey and Judd today, and I just gave 5% to officiating.
Yeah,
that's it. It's 5%. You can acknowledge it, but it's not any type of a big reason why you lost.
No, but it becomes then the narrative that we got robbed by the referees. Now I'll make another observation.
Okay,
I wasn't there on Friday night, and I've been told that was as crazed and amped up and involved as a Wild crowd has ever been in what's basically 22 seasons of sellouts. Once in a while, you know, they've had 19,000 in there.
Yeah.
Anytime they open the gates after the football season's over on a weekend, people are foaming at their mouth, 19,000 to get in there. This was the most amped up crowd ever. Now, other play that I went yesterday, and it seemed like another playoff game to me. And then I thought, I wonder why this is. And then I realized 3 extra hours of drinking on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you drop the puck at, 8:50?
Yeah, 8:50 on a Friday night.
8:50 on Friday night. Or you drop it at 5:40 on a Sunday. You're going to have a much more amped up crowd, and that explained it.
So Mr. Puck is saying for game 6, which is happening in St. Paul on Friday, 8:50.
What time?
We don't know yet.
If you want to get the crowd really involved and you want to make the suitor sucks chant even louder, right?
Delay the puck drop.
Yeah. Plus, you probably don't get as many kids on a 8:50 game, right? I mean, they take the neighbor instead of the
yesterday.
Kid.
You're more likely.
I did see some kids, but
I did too.
But not as many.
Yeah.
So you get the now. I did a diary of for the online that I went to all 3 games at some portion yesterday, and I did have a great dialogue narrative that they. I was just sending it in, and they edited it. But I'm walking down the street with these young rowdies. But we're still hour and a half before the game, right? Hour and a half before it, because I'm going from Tom Reed's to game down the street, and some young guy from back says, "Anybody got a lighter?" And this guy next to me who was walking in front of him says, "No, I don't smoke my meth." So I put that in there. I thought it was kind of funny, but apparently we don't like meth jokes. I don't know. That's okay.
Pat, what's remarkable to me about this series, and about this is a lifetime Minnesota Wild playoff ineptitude, if you will. They've been in the playoffs 12 times since they've gotten here.
Yes.
And excluding the bubble, I don't count the bubble thing that they did with
Vancouver. That's not a, you know, they announced beforehand you had to win the first round.
Yeah.
You had to win. That was kind of their version of the play-in tournament.
Yes.
But then. Then they said, go ahead, say you make the playoffs. So we keep writing they made the playoffs all these years in a row. No, they didn't make the playoffs in the bubble. They didn't. They got beat in humiliating fashion by a very mediocre Vancouver team. I thought that team was going to, you know, do something maybe in the bubble, but not. Anyway, so 12 times.
So they made it 12 times. So that means they have played 12 first-round series.
Mm-hmm.
And not once has this team been up 2-0 in a series, or
3-1. I was surprised to see that but then I thought about it. But they've never. Yesterday would have been the first time that they were ever had 3-1 in a series. Now they were behind 3-1 in the series the first year twice and won in miraculous fashion.
Yes,
but they've won 4 playoff series, but first. 2 of them came the first year they were in the playoffs. So since then, they've only won 2 playoff series, which is pretty amazing, to say the least. But I still think they're going to win this series. I think that Dallas isn't that good. They got some weapons.
Good.
You don't want to put them on a power play, but if they go on it, you got to do something about your penalty kill. Right. Right.
Well, what they need, this guy hasn't shown up yet. Kirill has one goal. Boldy has zero goals.
What's with Boldy?
Their two best players during the regular season haven't shown up yet. So I guess two ways to look at it. I guess you could say that, all right, well, now they're due, right? They're due for a Game 5 outbreak or a Game 5 breakup, maybe Game 6 too, because that's guaranteed to happen. I'm not surprised that one of them gets shut down, and especially Kirill, right? Because Kirill's their superstar. That they're going to focus to shut him down. I mean, Suter cross-checks him, whatever. No. But then you'd think that Boldy naturally would reap the benefits of, you know, with Kirill being shut down, that you could get Boldy going a little bit more. He has no goals, Pat. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been abysmal.
But Johansson made him.
Yes.
Made him. What's happening with him? Who's taking care of him?
Yeah.
Who's
checking
him to keep him from taking advantage of that matchup?
Yeah. Sagan are damn good. Wyatt Johnston on Dallas is their version of Boldy, basically, or Rossi, I guess. You can probably make a better comparison.
Was he in the draft last year?
He was in the draft, I think, yes, last year. He's only 19.
Yeah.
He's young. So
where's he from?
I do not know off the top of my head.
I've been hearing about him, but I don't exactly sit around and watch Dallas Stars games during the regular season.
But I do think that it's time for one of those two. I mean, they have to on Tuesday here in Dallas, and I don't know if they'll make a goaltending change. We'll certainly see. I think it's wise to stick with the Gus bus, but knowing how these guys operate, Pat, it wouldn't shock me if they gave it to Flower.
I was
either.
Very disappointed because when Gustafson gave up the first goal, which was the rebound, right? It was a rebound, right?
Yep.
And I tweeted out, Fleury would have stopped that one. Expecting a big outrage, but I don't think many of the hockey people follow me. So I thought I could have poked the bear with that, but
they didn't bite.
They did not bite. So congratulations to the Wild fans. Gopher fans, they would have bit.
No.
But they did not bite. And, it's 2-2. What did you think? You know what I thought this series would be after four games? 2-2.
Yeah.
And just remember this. We've talked about it. Home ice means nothing. Used to mean everything. We have to get home ice. Louis Nanny's whole life was, we got to get home ice. What are we going to do if we don't have home ice? Home ice means nothing now. And in fact, when you got home ice and a chance to win it, you know, like back here, Game 6 maybe, or Dallas, Game 7 for Dallas. I think if you don't get a goal in the first 10 minutes, you get more puckered up. We've talked about that. But I think the other teams, what the hell? These guys don't care if you're screaming at them or yelling at them or chanting Suter sucks. We've gone way beyond the idea that fans can influence lift the team up, I don't think.
Agreed.
I think isn't the Metrodome in baseball in 87 and 91.
So you think Wild in 6, Wild in 7? What do you think?
I don't know. I think they can win the next two. Yeah, I do. I mean, if they bring them back, if they beat them down there in game. Now, all of a sudden, Dallas has got to win, right?
Yeah.
To give away the advantage. And Dallas is, as you say, they can score power play goals, so... I don't think the referees are going to feel chagrin because Evason and Guerin Guerin's contacting them today to complain about Foligno's penalties.
Agreed. Did you stay up for the Wolves?
I was at the Wolves.
Oh, you went to the Wolves. Did you go to both?
I went to all three. I went to the Twins,
too.
Wow. I wrote a diary about it for the online for this Tribune. I went to baseball game.
Okay.
Got there at 11:30, 12, and left, had an Uber ordered for 2:50 p.m. And I took that to St. Paul because I didn't want to.
Yeah, try to park down
I didn't want to have to move my car out of that. And the thing is, last year, that would have meant I got to see 3.5 innings. Yesterday, 6. I got an Uber driver, nice fella from Kenya, but he damn near killed me. He was just driving nuts, didn't know where he was going. And then I'm telling him, okay, get in the right lane because we're approaching. We're like a half mile from the Kellogg Boulevard exit, after Dale Street. I say, get in the right lane. He doesn't get in the right lane. I said, now he's still going 70 miles an hour. And I we're 100 yards from Kellogg Boulevard exit. And I'm saying, get in the right lane! Turn! In the back seat. And then I'm trying to get him to take me to Tom Reed's instead of the ball. And we did. He was okay. I gave him $5. So he gave me a thrill. You know, I'm wearing this heart monitor because of my, I might have, if there's a rise there, it was when we were trying to make Kellar Boulevard exit with traffic backed up on two wheels. That was
It's like one of those house arrests. They go, bop, 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 bop.
Now I went to Tom Reed yesterday, and I went to Tom Reed's.
Okay.
Absolute. This is now at what time? Probably 3:30. So 2 hours before the game starts, 3:45 maybe. And absolute jam-packed chaos, all wild jerseys. And the TVs out in the front are virtually all on playoff hockey games somewhere else, you know. The Twins game was on in the back, but I think it was bottom of the eighth. And the Twins... And I was talking to a couple of guys, and we're sitting there in the bottom of the eighth, and I looked up, the game was over. Like, Duran must have needed 8 pitches or something to finish him off, because it was 2:13 yesterday. So, anyway, then I hung out there for a while. I went back, and I took a picture of the crowd. I was going to show it to Tommy. Mm-hmm. He's like most bar owners now. He's got a video, a live stream of how busy they are. My friend Mike Andrews, the late, great Mike Andrews, who owned J.D. Hoyts and a bunch of other stuff, but spent most of the year in Palm Springs, he'd spend his evening watching the crowd at J.D. Hoyts, you know, had a video. And Tommy knows how many customers they have, just looking at the video. Yeah. And I said to him, so you got to be hoping that the Dallas wins one of the next two, so you can get a game 6. He said, yeah, but not really, because if we can finish him off in 5, that means I get another series, right?
Yes.
So that's right. So he'll take the series based on over the one more home game.
That's right.
But then again, if it's an 8:45 home game, it'll be good for business. If they can be a little playoff run, they will have recovered from the pandemic.
Yeah,
because it was... It's amazing. And the other bars, I was walking past those, and they're in that place with what do they call it? The place with the, has the big trucks.
Oh, truck park.
Truck park. Yeah, they had a hell of a lot of people in there too. And everybody had people in there. So
what was the, Pat, what was the difference in crowds between, you said game 4 at St. Paul, they were a little more quiet and puckered up. But Wolves, at least on TV, I mean, they were jumping. It looked like they were
not
were
really until late.
No?
It was,
okay.
it was pretty dead at first. And not full, you know. They had white shirts all over every seat for the second straight time. I mean, when you have a whiteout and it fails... Why do you have another one? That's what I didn't figure out. But I guess they bought 5,000, well, not 5,000. They bought 40,000 T-shirts, so they figured they might as well give them away. Mm-hmm. But upstairs, reality had set in. The Wild have been, the Wolves have been very well and surprisingly supported by an enthusiastic crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've felt this year, I was surprised how, because they've had a lot of years there when they were disappointed and... I don't know. A lot of people think it's Edwards. I'm not sure why there's such optimism. But, a crowd that comes in is very supportive. And, you know what? It showed, one night I was there, and it was, I can't remember what game it was, a couple months ago. And Ant throws a pass to Nas. I think it was Nas. And Nas makes immediately makes a 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd explodes. And then they're winning the game by 15 or something. And I couldn't figure out why. And it was a triple-double. And they knew it.
Yeah.
The fans knew it, which surprised the hell out of me. But, a big portion of the crowd, hey! An extra cheer
Yeah.
And I mean, they love the guy. They love the guy. I got to admit this. Did you watch the end of it?
Yes, I did. I watched most of the fourth quarter.
That was one of the great meltdowns in history.
Oh my God.
I heard Finch say after the game, well, they were making their threes there. I said, well, yeah, okay. Don't let them shoot them after they make the first two. Make them make it two.
Oh my God.
Don't let them guard the perimeter. You can't let them keep shooting them. That was the quickest 12-point rally I ever saw in my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Minute 58, I think, with time to go when Denver had the ball. And Ant said it, too, in the post game of, I almost shot the ball away. I put the team back into place.
I have been driven crazy.
Okay.
Ever since Garnett became the star.
Okay.
By the way we play the final 15 seconds of games when you need a basket, tied or one down, mm-hmm. Garnett, he'd hold the ball. They'd give the Garnett the ball and do some kind of a clear out, and he'd miss a jump shot. And, you know, and you'd lose by one or go to overtime or whatever. I mean, he made 2 out of 10 in that situation. Why don't you go get a basket?
Yeah.
You know, this holding the ball for 15 seconds to try to prevent them from having a last chance. Get a basket and then let them try to make one if they got in 4 seconds or something. And same thing with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler for, you know, clear it out. Let's let Jimmy miss his shot. Jimmy might have made one of those shots in his life. They still do it in Miami. This whole thing of you have to genuflect to your best player and let him do a clear out instead of going and get a basket. And they do it with Edwards. And Edwards at the end of regulation last night again. What is he doing? Yeah. Move the ball. Get a basket.
What I don't understand is Ant has the ability to drive. Like when Ant drives to the hoop, we've seen it, right? He's had those highlight reels and he can do that.
I think he held the ball too long. And then he was trying to do that. Mm-hmm. And they double teamed him and took the ball away from him.
Yeah, I agree.
Drives me crazy.
But then again,
I got to admit this.
Okay.
You're in overtime. And now, after urinating away the 12-point lead in regulation, you're trying to urinate away the 7-point lead in overtime, right? They're trying to do it again. And he's holding the ball outside. And I'm watching. By then, I'm kind of watching in the back on TV and at Target Center. And he goes to – he's got the ball, and he's got that look in his eyes, you know. And you say – Don't shoot. And the other guy said, yeah, don't shoot. And he makes a three. So he made that three and won the game for him, basically. He had a great game. And we love him and with all his flaws. But he's not as good a three-point shooter as he thinks he is. That's one of his problems.
Agreed. So. Any shot in game five? Do they have any shot to bring this back?
No, they won't. Especially if Kyle Anderson is blind and
one
eye.
Yeah, what the hell? God.
Yeah. Ant did that, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He got it from
Ant.
I don't know. Have we got an update? I haven't seen any.
No, I heard he was seeing an eye doctor.
Yeah, they went to an eye doctor.
Yeah.
So if they take him out of there,
yeah,
you're already missing two of your best six players. If you're losing him, you're missing three of your best six players. They have no chance. This one guy, this kid saved him, though, Nikhil, whatever the heck.
Oh, Nikhil, Alex.
Yeah,
Alexander
he made
Walker.
A couple of threes.
He's good.
And he guards somebody.
You know, as much as Conley deserves ripping for Gobert, the Conley notch swap was actually a.
Yeah,
a
it
good
was.
One.
It was, although you still get the impression he was a throw in. And then, you know, to make the deal equal, I think Conley thought maybe he had a chance or something, but he's, you know, he'll be around next year now.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, yeah, they don't have a chance, no.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Pat, I saw your column on Saturday after Lopez got absolutely shelled by the Nationals. Kudos to throwing the money line in there. I saw you doing the money line factor.
235. They were 235 to make 100. Because the guy they were pitching against, Chad Cool, was it?
Yeah,
Chad
I think Cool? so, yeah. Who was terrible.
This year
right?
he had three starts. His ERA was over 8. Last year he was in Colorado. And they gave him 27 starts. His ERA was 5, and now part of it's Coors Field, I'm sure, but he was terrible. And his ERA was 5.8 or something. And they ended up, 69, and I don't they lost a load of games. Year before that, it was Pittsburgh. His last year in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh went 61-101, and they got rid of him, and they didn't. A 61-101 team didn't want him.
Right.
So, he got, they only brought him into camp with the idea. I was asking the Denver, the Washington guys, what's the deal? I mean, how'd he get in the rotation? And their best pitching prospect blew out his elbow in spring training. So then they had to go scrounging around. I mean, they're terrible. And that's how he got in the rotation. I don't think he can. And they did have the quick hook for him. They got him out in the fourth inning. But, 1-235. Now, I'll give the Twins Baldelli and Lopez. Intentionally, they didn't use the Cole. He couldn't get a grip on a ball. You know, he's from Venezuela, and he
right.
pitched for the Marlins, so how many times he pitched in cold weather? But they didn't use that excuse, and it was like – it would have always traditionally been done that way.
Mm-hmm.
So my impression is that Rocco talked to Pablo and said, we got another game with these guys. Let's not say the only reason they knock you around was because you didn't get a good grip on the ball. So mm-hmm. they both mimicked each other and said, the Nationals had a real good approach against me. So I think it was, this team is no good. Let's not do anything to give a little fire to them or something and go get beaten on Sunday's game. So I just got that impression that they control the message even to the other team now. They try to control the message, you know, so...
Well, anyway. It has been impressive. I mean, I know Lopez got shelled on Saturday, and you know Bailey Ober makes a solid spot start for them yesterday. But the team can pitch, but this lineup is it's questionable, isn't it? I mean, it's
subjective. They got Polanco back, and the good news is Kirilov hit 2 home runs in St. Paul. Yeah. Now Friday he had 2 at bats and left the game. Mm-hmm. Now maybe it was cold weather. I don't know. And then he didn't play Saturday. So I'm saying, what's going on? And then Rocco was asked about it Sunday morning and said, we don't talk about that. I have nothing to say about that. So you're thinking, blew the wrist out again. Then he's in the lineup hitting second yesterday and hit 2 home runs. Yeah. I think a lot of it's cold. Probably this cold weather is just ridiculous. I mean, it's freezing outside again tonight for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So anyway, but hey, I heard some. I was the MLB Network.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing some stats on what the rules have done.
Oh yeah, yep.
And the shift hasn't really done much. The left-handed hitters on ground balls are hitting like 2 points higher than they did last year.
Interesting.
Are almost the same. Line drives that are a little higher because the guy's not standing out there. But the time of game thing is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Last year they said 3.5 hour games, or last year was some ungodly percent, like 18% or something.
Wow.
This year, there's been one nine-inning game that took over 3.5 hours. That was the Cardinals' season opener against the Blue Jays. There's been games under 230. Last year, it was, which surprised me, it was this high. It was, did you say 4%? Last year, 4%. This year, it's one-third of them. Almost 40% are under 2.5 hours. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I know as people love to always talk about baseball writers and press box people complaining. I can't even get up and get a damn brat in the cafeteria. I have to run to go get that brat and come back, or I'm missing two plays in my scorebook.
Yeah, there are half innings that take two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Because if the leadoff hitter comes up, mm-hmm. and pops up on the first pitch.
One out.
That's, you know, I think supposedly, I mean, Rocco talked about it. Maeda's having a real hard time with that.
Okay.
That he's, you know, he's used to going in the dugout and
relaxing a little bit and resetting.
Sitting there for 6-7 minutes at least. And time between, which doesn't, he had another stat. Time between the next at bat. So, okay. Guy makes an out.
Okay.
Time between the next at bat is down like a half a minute.
To, wow.
You know, some, you know, the next.
Yeah.
The next
30 seconds
bat.
Per. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And the time between ball hit and play, having a ball hit and play is, I'm surprised it was only, I mean, it was 352 or something last year. I'm surprised it was that rapidly. It doesn't seem like it when you go to games. But that's down like 40 seconds, which is pretty much what this whole thing was about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not adding any runs or anything. And the stolen base stat isn't that much higher either. I thought it would be, but from watching games, it seemed like it would be, but it's not that much higher. But in whole, it's a astounding success for a game that needed. And, you know, I think I said this last week talking to Judd and you. This could only be created by a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it was a crisis.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
You was a season ticket holder last year. Knew that. I mean, how many times even when they were starting the games at 6:40,
mm-hmm.
there was a damn good chance it wouldn't be over till 10.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Know? And now it's now you start thinking. You know, I was going to order my Uber, and I didn't want to get in the crowd leaving the game, although it wasn't very much. The bat day did not draw as well as Buxton jersey day. Buxton jersey, which the jerseys seemed okay.
Yeah.
Not great, but they seemed okay. But they announced 23. Well, the wind chill was 25. I bet there were 15,000 of them in the stadium, 16, 17 out of that 23. I don't know if they all stayed, but it was miserable.
Yeah,
I went out a couple of times and it was miserable.
I got the note from PR that said first pitch is expected around 45 to 46 degrees at game time tonight. I don't know if they'll have those press box windows open or not. They might have them closed.
No,
for tonight.
We're still gonna have them closed.
Yeah,
I'm not going tonight.
I'm gonna go tonight. Wild obviously play tomorrow, so I gotta be there.
So
for that
what
one.
Is the? I think we're gonna hit the 50s tomorrow. It was supposed to be today.
Thursday is supposed to be actually, I know it's rain, but it's supposed to be in the 60s. So Thursday warms up a little bit. Yeah, we got 56 on Wednesday, 64 on Thursday.
But they're done. They're only Monday, Tuesday,
the 10-game homestand.
Tuesday, Wednesday, right? And then who comes?
After the Yankees are in town here, obviously, for three games.
They must have a day off. I think it's a 10-day. I mean, they're home again, right?
Yeah, they have a 10-game homestand. I know that. So obviously, they just had the Nationals here. They have New York and then Kansas City. Four-gamer. It is a four-gamer. So
boy,
Thursday,
the poor Royals. I think they're 4-17.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea. I heard, listen to MLB. They were, with the White Sox not pitching at all and still playing terrible in the field, and Cleveland not as good as they were last year, they were declaring the AL Central to be the worst it's ever been.
Oh, it's terrible.
And I think a lot of people thought it was going to be better.
Yeah.
Because Detroit, I thought Kansas City had some young guys and they were going to be better, but they can't win a game. And, you know. White Sox are having a White Sox. We saw them. They still can't make a play in the field, and their pitching hasn't been good. And old Cleveland's, I don't know, the Twins lost 6 out of 7 and stayed in first place, so that tells you something. They went from 10-4 to 11-10 and stayed in first place. So that's
the
as I said on Twitter, the AL Central is glorious to be a location.
The run differential between the Tigers, White Sox, and Royals, Pat, is -124 between those three teams. Now, Oakland has been the worst team in
they've
baseball.
They've still only won 3, right?
Yeah, they've only four. They did win their fourth. Okay. But they're alone. They have a -103 run differential.
What? Already?
22 games in.
Already?
Every
that's
other team,
be a world record.
Every other team in the West has a positive run differential.
That's got to be...
Negative 103.
That's got to be a record in modern baseball to be outscored by 100 runs in your first 22 games.
Oh my God.
I don't. Did they know they were going to do this? Did they know they were going to be this rotten?
I don't think so.
I think they're going to have to. You know, they're moving to Vegas, but the stadium's not ready till 2007. But I think they're going to have to go play in that minor league ballpark they have out there and get out of Oakland, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't stay in Oakland.
No.
Maybe have one farewell season, but, you know, they're getting crowds announced at 3,000, and that's what they deserve, by the way. I read something. If you want to park in the Coliseum parking lot, $30.
What?
$30. They give them, they're doing everything they can to make sure nobody comes to the game. Baseball is going to get rid of it. Meanwhile, the other team with the stadium crisis can't draw people is now 18-3, right? Or 18-4, Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, undefeated.
It's unbelievable.
13 straight home wins for them.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, Billy Beane was the genius of Moneyball and the whole analytical era. And, it's more important to get on base, don't look at batting average, look at everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys who took it and run with all, with obviously much more, exotic analytics. But Billy, Moneyball started it, but it ain't finishing it here. I wonder if Billy, I think, he's got a GM now. I think he's team president or something.
Yeah, he's gotten a title bump there. It's remarkable.
They got... They're so bad, they got a lot of guys hitting like Billy Beane did. I got to cover Billy when he was going to be a phenom here after the Twins pried him away from the Mets. And nice guy. Hell of a guy back then. Couldn't hit then, and his team can't hit now. So.
Hey, Pat, I'm actually glad Judd's out because I saw you tweet about this last week, and I watched the first few. So are you out on Barry?
No, I'm not out,
but
I have not enjoyed it as much as I used to. The first two this year. I mean, it's hard to be out when you got Stephen Root. And,
I know.
I mean, he's fantastic. No, I'm going to watch it. I just haven't been I get the impression they didn't think it was going to last this long.
No.
Because they basically wound it up. I thought they wound it up last year, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I think it would have made sense to end it. And I know this is the last season. They're ending it.
Yes, it is. It'll probably get better. Henry Winkler is... Oh, has he won any Emmys or anything? He's fantastic.
He's been great. I mean, the morph of Bill Hader from goofball on SNL to this serious, incredible performance in Barry has been unbelievable.
Tortured. Yeah, I mean, he's been a couple of romantic comedies when he's good. I'm going to watch it again. I just haven't liked it, enjoyed it. I mean, I stumbled on it when it started and, loved it. And we can't watch them all, though, right? They're once a week. They're posted once a week.
Yeah, I think, they gave you two to start, and now I think they're down to doing once a week.
They're probably only doing six.
Six or eight. Yeah. That's what they usually do. It's remarkable, though. I every time I pause, when the season ends and a new one comes out, the character that plays Sally is one of the most despicable. I just... can't stand her. And it's real. It's good writing. It's good writing. But her character alone is one of the most despicable television characters.
She's a troubled woman. But the character, the side characters are fantastic. The
NoHo Hank.
He is
so good.
And his
Venezuelan.
Cartel.
Yeah.
Leader. boyfriend is pretty fantastic. Yes. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, that's their character guys are good. Yeah, it's still good. I just was hoping it'd be better this time. Because they got themselves so far out there that, you know, they had to bring them back from foreign countries and stuff like that. So it was, they've really had to massage the story. But it's, yeah, Barry, if you're not watching Barry and you don't mind a little violence, it's pretty good. I was surprised way back when he shot Henry Winkler's cop. He just shot the cop.
Yeah. So,
and what's her name? That's Hank Henry Winkler.
It was his girlfriend. It was Detective. I'm blanking on her name.
Henry Winkler finally ratted him out, and now Barry's in.
He was in jail, and they got him out. Right? Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch. Yes, yeah. I know they released yesterday. I didn't see that one.
Maybe I didn't watch it, but he's searching for friends. It's hard to find. He's going to go back to Stephen Root. So,
and you're not in on Succession, right? That one you're not in on.
Nah, too much angst for me. Brian Cox. I love Brian.
Oh, he's great. He's everywhere right now. These commercials.
He's everywhere. God. He's everywhere. I love Brian Cox, but it's almost a cartoon character of Brian Cox. You know how much more of a jackass can he become, you know? And plus the one brother, the weasel.
Kieran Culkin?
I wish they'd get rid of him.
Oh, God, I love him.
I wish they'd get rid of him.
Oh, I love him.
I wish somebody, you know, just kidnap him and never bring him back. He annoys me. My wife loves it. She never misses.
Yeah.
She's rewatching season one or two when I was in home the other day.
It's the only show I don't do this for any other show, and it's probably been one of my favorite television shows of all time, but I have to listen to podcast breakdowns afterwards just to get intel on what, I didn't connect
what,
that
what
dot.
What is going on here? Well, it's supposed to be Rupert Murdoch, right?
Yeah, it's loosely based off the Murdoch family, obviously.
Yeah. With the difficulties. I'll probably someday watch. It was also like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple of years, and the guy everybody loved annoyed me so bad I couldn't watch the
Jesse.
Jesse. I hated Jesse. Get your act together, Jesse. You're an idiot.
Yes.
You know. But Breaking Bad, the transformation of
Cranston
was fantastic. He's this wimpy teacher dying of a cancer, and he becomes this maniac.
Well, I love, and I, as a kid, and even I've rewatched Malcolm in the Middle, which is one of my favorite, one of the last good Fox sitcoms that they made. And even that character from Hal, the goofy dummy dad, to Walter White is an incredible transformation.
It is. Now, I think they thought they were going to last a long time. So they seem to get their story together. I have not. Have you tried Lucky Hank? With
Lucky Hank,
with Saul, Better Call Saul.
I got about halfway through season one when it was coming out, and I just got. I think it was by the time I was graduating college, and I got bogged down with that, and then I've never dabbled back.
I don't know what my problem is right now. I just, you know what I'm doing. I Tubi, which is this.
I know Tubi
movie station, which you can get hundreds of movies if you're willing to sit through 3 or 4 minutes of ads. They got every movie you ever want to watch, and some of them I haven't seen, and I've been doing some of that when I'm not watching ball games. So, I'm trying to think, have we ever had this before with these starting times? 2004, I don't think when they had their run in 2004, the Wild even made the playoffs that year.
No.
2003, they made their run, and then in 2004, it's the only time the Wolves ever made a run, and so they had it to itself. We haven't really had this much head-to-head.
No.
Although that won't, after Tuesday, we won't have to worry about that.
But. Well, then you got the triple header. You got the draft. You got the Wild will play game six during rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night.
Yes, I said we have four columnists, three of them who are certainly interested in the NFL, and I sent a message saying, if you can eliminate me from draft coverage, that's fine with me. So I'm not. I you know how I watch the draft now? On Twitter.
The whole
15 minutes and the whole 15 minutes and the guy comes up for an interview that doesn't say anything. And, you know, it is amazing the impact of it, though. It's somebody suggested that the reason the Twins are starting at 3:15 Friday is to stay away from the second round of the draft. No, it's to draw people. How's that weather forecast? A little better. Friday. I'm hoping to get decent weather so the happy hour works and that we start having those once in a while, those 3:10 games.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, 54 and 40% chance of rain on Friday. So we'll see how what the forecast looks like for there. I did see some opened 2 weeks ago during that quick little 80-degree spurt we got, but most golf courses are opening this week.
I did see a list of the prices for happy hour. So it is a happy hour for the reduced beer and everything. So it'll be interesting to see if that succeeds. Might as well try something. They were doing okay. And then, I mean, you can't expect to get crowds when it's 20 degrees. So
I agree.
I don't know. They are not giving you any confidence you're ever going to see Byron Buxton in center field again, are they?
No,
I don't know if we want to take that risk. it is too bad because that's certainly his number one asset is playing out there. All Taylor's fine. By the way, I can no longer make fun of Michael A. Taylor.
Okay, why is that?
The Washington guys were in town, right?
Yeah,
I was talking
that's right.
to him, and I was complaining about Michael A. Taylor. I said, the other guy's been gone for 7 years. Can we get rid of the A? The guy says, well, it started off to differentiate him, but now it's in honor of his father, who apparently passed away.
Okay, gotcha.
Or is sick. So I said, all right
I'll cool
it. I got to give that up. Sometimes before I go on my rant, I should investigate what's going on. But anyway, the A is there for because of he's honoring his father. And so he's getting more hits than we thought. Hey, I got one question about the Twins. What's with the chubby catcher letting the balls get past him? I mean, we like everything about him, but he misses about one a game, right?
Vasquez. Yeah.
He missed it. He lost the game in Boston when he let strike three go through his legs and started that rally. And then the other day, they're going to have a one run top of the first in the 10-4 game. And all of a sudden, the pitch is out here and he can't, his chubby little arm can't reach it. And it goes to the backstop and it's 2-0.
I loved listening to the Nesson broadcast because obviously him being in Boston for those two World Series, they did not call him Christian or Vasquez once, they called him Vasquez. It was like it was a punto, you know.
Punto,
it was
a nickname. Huh?
It was like a guardiism where this guy, he's getting called by his nickname by the opposing broadcast the whole time.
Yeah, well, he's had more hits than I thought too.
Yeah, he's solid.
You look at their numbers. Their hitting numbers are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're going into yesterday's game. They were hitting .228. They're on base. The on base isn't .300, and slugging percentage is awful. They haven't performed in any areas. Polanco probably. Boy, it'd be nice if he's actually healthy.
Yeah.
So because he's their best player. When with Buxton only playing one way, he's their best player. But I wonder if Kirilloff will. I heard they were going to option Kirilloff. If you're going to bring him up, you got to make a decision on Kepler. Don't you? You might have to let him go.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the end of it. I mean, whether it's DFA or they can't trade him.
Nobody's going to take him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could say, okay, trade him for a Class A pitcher. Well, nobody wants a contract. Nobody's mm-hmm. going to pay him.
It would be a DFA, though, wouldn't it, if they sent him to AAA?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wonder if they have the guts to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been unplayable.
But they spring training, they tried to tell you they saw some things, even though he didn't get any hits. And then they start off batting him first, but can't hit.
No.
It's 4 years now.
Yeah, it's been enough.
And it's getting increasingly worse. I mean, sometimes Terry Ryan would release him, and if he went and did well, would not feel bad because he likes players. But I think these guys are afraid to get embarrassed. Mm. But I don't know. Maybe as soon as it, I wonder how many more days they're going to stick with him. If he plays against the Yankees and doesn't do anything, they're going to.
Yeah, I think he's on borrowed time.
They're going to have to make the move. So. Yeah. Anyway.
Final thoughts, sir?
Final thoughts. Enjoy the hockey. Stop whining about the officials. Get mad at them not being able to kill penalties. How are we doing on the faceoffs? Any better?
No.
Are some of our new faceoff guys helping us?
I think. Well, yesterday I believe they were 50. They were exactly 50%, which
that's
is an improvement because I think it was 2/3 basically the first three games in favor of Dallas.
Yes. We haven't concentrated much on the faceoffs, but you got to make them pay for their penalties too. The only time you made them pay for the penalty was when you made it a 6-on-4. So it was a. Not the thing I worry about is maybe the goalie's back and Ottinger might be back at the top of his game. And
yeah, that's what you don't want to
see.
Now
you could be dealing with Jake Allen. So the good Jake Allen, not the one who could stop a volleyball. So we don't go back to, they don't have the guts to go back to Fleury though, do they? For crucial game 5? No way. No way. Right?
Yeah. I don't.
Can't do it.
God, I hope
can't
not.
Do it.
I hope
you
not.
Can't do it.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
All right, sir.
Have a good late night hockey watching experience, ladies and gentlemen. You can click over to the Timberwolves. And is the game Tuesday, though, at 7 o'clock, or don't we know?
I don't know.
I thought it was 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I know the Wild and Stars are at 7, which is.
No, that's what I mean, the Wild and Stars.
Yep, Stars are at 7, and 8 o'clock tomorrow for Timberwolves Nuggets.
Okay. 8?
8. 8 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not too late, though. That's pretty good.
All right, sir.
All right. See you. You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.